I am not ashamed of the good news about salvation that is available through Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, because this message unleashes the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. And salvation from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death is our absolute greatest need. Shalom, this is Rabbi Lauren, coming to you again live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Well, today we're going to talk about evangelism. Evangelism is really important. It's one of our most basic responsibilities as sons and daughters of God, as ambassadors and representatives of the kingdom of heaven. We have been entrusted with the mission of the Messiah. He came into this world to preach the good news to the Jewish people first, and then he died and he rose from the dead and he ascended back to the right hand of God the Father. And from there, he and the Father sent their spirit to live in Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles. And the Father and the Son has given us the responsibility to bring this message of salvation to a lost and dying world. Evangelism and declaring the good news is so important. My guest today is David Brickner. He's the executive director of Jews for Jesus, a wonderful ministry that God has raised up in the past half century and used greatly to tell the Jewish people about the Messiah and to inform the church about the Jewish roots of the Christian faith. David is an expert on evangelism. David, welcome back to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Thank you, Rabbi Lauren. It's great to be with you.
And it's great to have you. Well, Dave, let's talk about evangelism. You're the director of a worldwide evangelistic ministry that's bringing the truth about the Jewish Messiah to our Jewish people around the world, but also to people from other nations as well. Why would you say, David, that evangelism is important?
Well, first of all, it's a direct obedience to the commission that Yeshua gave his disciples and all of his followers in the Great Commission of Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples. He said to his disciples just before he ascended, you are my witnesses. And so this is, first of all, obedience to the command of Messiah. It is a sacred entrustment. The Apostle Paul said, you've been approved by God to be entrusted with the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach, of Jesus the Messiah. Out of our love for the Savior and out of a sacred trust, we have the privilege of obeying him by sharing this good news with a people in the world who so desperately need that good news.
And David, we do live in a lost and dying world, a fallen world where people are not born close to God and going to heaven. People come into this world suffering from the consequences of the fall. They're far from God, and we're not headed towards life, but we're headed towards death as human beings. We're headed towards hell, not heaven. Would you agree with that?
I would. And, you know, one of the things that I think is important is that when it comes to the Jewish people, many Christians are sometimes confused, since Jewish people, we know, are the chosen people, that maybe they don't need Jesus like the rest of the world. And I just want to be very clear that the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me, when he said those words, the only people in his hearing at the time were Jews. If it didn't apply to them, it doesn't apply to anyone else. And yet I constantly meet Christians in churches who will ask me, do we really need to share the gospel with Jewish people? Aren't they okay on their own? And so we get it right with the Jewish people, then it helps us to understand the magnitude of the task that we have to bring the gospel to everyone. And when you preach the gospel loud enough for Jews to hear, a whole lot of other folk listen in.
David, I couldn't agree with you more. The Jewish people need the Jewish Messiah, the King of the Jews, as much as anyone. He's our Jewish Messiah. God sent him to us. He is the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies. Of, you know, he made the new covenant, you know, with the Jewish people and God possible. Of course, we need to personally trust in the Jewish Messiah for our salvation. Anyone who says anything else, you know, is dabbling in heresy.
Absolutely. And of course, Jesus himself really brought the issue home when he, with his own disciples, walking around the region of Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16, asked a question that we need to ask today. He said, "Who do people say that I am?" And of course, at that time, there were lots of opinions, and the disciples recite a number of different ones that were being given by the community, all in a buzz about this person, Jesus. And then he brought it more narrowly down to the personal when he said, "Yes, but who do you say that I am?" And I would say, Rabbi Lorne, that that is the most important question that has ever been asked on the universe and the most important question that anyone has to answer. Who is Jesus?
David, I think you are right. You know, a lot of Christians are intimidated about engaging in evangelism, even though it's one of our core responsibilities as followers of the Lord, as sons and daughters of God, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. You know, God calls every Christian and every Messianic Jew to be looking for evangelistic opportunities and to make witnessing events happen. And yet a lot of Christians are just, they never do that. They're intimidated. They don't know how. Let's focus on how to be bearers of the good news using this question. Who do you think that Jesus is, right? That's the question?
It is, and it's one that we in Jews for Jesus use quite a bit because we found it an excellent entree into getting into spiritual discussions. So when we're out on the streets and someone is just happening to walk by, we usually will just ask them to pause. "Hey, can I ask you something? Who do you think Jesus is?" And, you know, most people don't mind having their opinions solicited. And so that kind of question, that kind of engagement is a question that any Christian can ask, whether it be over a lunchtime conversation. "Hey, I was just thinking about this the other day. Can I ask you something? Who do you think Jesus is?" And, of course, that question then spurs the opportunity to have this most significant, life-changing conversation. Who is Jesus?
And David, this is a great question. Who do you think Jesus is? Not just, you know, for Jewish people and Jewish evangelism, but this is a great question for anyone, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm on my way right now to join the Jews for Jesus Summer Witnessing Campaign in New York. Right now we have about 20 young people out on the streets handing out gospel tracts 3 and 4 times a day. And we're meeting with tens of thousands of people, and we're going to be asking that very question. And I expect that by the end of this month we'll have had those kinds of significant conversations to the point where we'll have over 4,000 people who will have stopped and answered that question, and then engaged with us in serious conversation, many of them leaving their names and addresses asking for more information. So we have just found this, actually what we call the proposal statement, to be one of the most effective ways of engaging people in the gospel, and it's very transferable. You don't have to be Jewish to ask or answer that question. In fact, it works for all kinds of people all over the world.
You know, Dave, you know, when you ask someone a question like that, a lot of people have opinions and they like to hear themselves talk and they like to give their opinions. And so if you ask a person, "Who do you think Jesus is?" You know, often you will get some sort of response.
That's right. And I think one of the most common answers that we hear from Jewish people and just from secular folks is they say, "Well, Jesus was a good man, maybe a prophet." And, you know, that's actually true. Jesus was a good man. And so in this proposal statement that we teach, you know, very brand new believers, people who are just learning how to do evangelism, we'll say, you know what, agree with them. Say, you know, that's right. Jesus was a good man, but he's much more than that. The Bible says that he's the Son of God, that he came to die for your sins and mine. And incredibly, he rose again from the dead according to the scriptures. Do you believe that? And of course, that getting out of that simple gospel message, Jesus dying for our sins, being buried, rising again on the third day, that is the gospel, and that is the power of God unto salvation. Also, all too often, we try and think that it's our clever arguments or our apologetics that make the difference in our personal witness, and it's not. In fact, the wonderful thing about the passage in Matthew 16, where Peter actually responds in the best way possible to Jesus' question, Jesus said, "So who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." You know, Jesus doesn't say, "Peter, you're really smart. You figured that out." He said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So for any Christian who's listening to us and is thinking, you know, I just don't feel like I know enough in order to persuade someone, let me disabuse you of that notion. You don't have to know enough. All you have to do is point someone to Jesus, and then it is the Father's responsibility to reveal it to them, and you get to be there to be a part of God's work in that person's life through the Holy Spirit. If they believe, it's God's work. If they disbelieve, it's not your responsibility.
So, David, what you're telling the Jesus Made Me Kosher audience today, and by the way, you're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. This is Rabbi Lauren, and my guest today is David Brickner, the executive director of Jews for Jesus, this wonderful worldwide organization bringing the message about the Messiah and his saving power to the Jewish people first, but also to the Gentiles. What you're saying, David, is that to be an effective evangelist, an effective witness, is something that the average Christian or Messianic Jew can do, and it's really fairly simple. If we just stay focused and ask people, who do you think Jesus is? And then we agree with them where they're right and where they're wrong, or where they're lacking information, we fill in that information. In many ways, it's not more complicated than that.
Absolutely. And again, remember, it's the work of the Spirit of God to enlighten the minds and hearts of people to believe. And I am absolutely convinced that God has divine appointments ordained for people who are listening to us right now, whether it be with friends, coworkers, or people that they just meet in casual acquaintance in the store or something like that. You know, I remember once I was brand new in sharing the gospel with people, and I was kind of nervous, and I was in Queens, New York, and I was handing out gospel tracts at the Roosevelt train station, and up the stairs walked this Jewish lady. She took one look at me and screamed at the top of her lungs like she'd seen a ghost. And then she started crying, and tears were coursing down her cheeks. Of course, I was shocked, and when she finally composed herself, she informed me that she had been going through a terrible series of circumstances in her life. She was at her wit's end when a Christian coworker had given her a videotape to watch, and she had watched it that night before, and it was all about Jesus. And she was moved by the Holy Spirit by that video as she watched, but she knew as a Jewish person that she wasn't supposed to believe in Jesus. And so she prayed a simple prayer to God. She said, "God, if this is true about this Jesus, you're going to have to bring me someone who's also Jewish who believes in him." And that very next day, she walks up out of the subway, and there I am in my Jews for Jesus t-shirt. I want to tell you something. That is a divine encounter, an appointment that God orchestrated. I didn't do anything but be there, and God had worked in this woman's heart. She prayed with me right there to receive the Lord Jesus as her Messiah and as her Savior. I remember seeing her a couple of weeks later. She was in our Jews for Jesus office being discipled by one of our missionaries. She had been plugged into a church. Hallelujah. God does the work. I was just there at the right time according to his divine plan. And God has those kinds of divine appointments for everyone who's listening to us right now, who is willing to be obedient, who's willing to stand there and say, "Can I ask you something? Who do you think Jesus is?"
Dave, that's a great story. Thank you for sharing it with us. That's really encouraging. All right, so here's the question we want to encourage Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles to ask their friends and neighbors and co-workers, if they're Jewish, they're Gentile. Who do you think Jesus is? All right, so Dave, you know, you ask that question and someone responds, oh, Jesus, of course, he was a good man. But that's all they say. He was a good man. Where do we go from there?
That's true. He was a good man, but he was much more than that. The Bible says that he's the Messiah, the Son of God, that he came to this earth to die for our sins. And incredibly, he rose again from the dead. So you want to go right to the gospel. Don't be afraid to give the gospel in its essence, in its core, and then ask the person to respond to that. Remember, the Bible tells us it is that gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. And when you explain that gospel message, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that then persuades a person. And even if they're objecting, even if they have reasons for disbelieving, you've at least got that gospel message in its core, in its essence, out there, and you know what you're talking about. And then be prepared to answer questions. Be prepared to deal with objections. They will come. But here's the other thing, the wonderful thing. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be able to answer all the objections right away. So, for example, if somebody says, well, I don't believe that Jesus can be the Messiah because blank, fill in the blank, because there's no peace in the world, which is a very common objection, not just among Jews, but many other people. And you can say, you know, that's a very good question, and it's a good challenge, and I think I know how to answer you. But what I'd really like to do is like to sit down with you and go over what real peace is all about. Would you be willing to meet with me, and I can show you some of the places in the Bible where it talks about what God's peace really is. And then, if they are open, if they are willing, you can actually go prepare a Bible study about the peace of God, the shalom of God, and you're engaging in a study of the Scriptures. And again, that is God's method. His word does not return void. It is the word of Christ. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Messiah. And so when we go to God's strategy, asking the question that Jesus asked, going to the Bible for the answers, then we don't have to worry about ourselves, and it's not about us. You know, Jesus didn't say, hey, Peter, you're a smart guy, you figured it out. He said, no, this is part of the work of the Father to reveal himself. He wants to do it, and he wants to use us.
All right, so Dave, you ask someone the question, who do you think Jesus is? And they say, you know, he was a good teacher. He was maybe even a prophet, but he was not the Messiah. How would you respond to that, Dave?
I would say, you know what? You're right. He was a good man and a prophet, but you say that he's not the Messiah. Why? Why do you say that? And if you say that he's a good teacher, let me ask you this much. Have you read his teaching? Because a lot of people will say that. He's a good teacher, but having never read his teaching. And, you know, the Bible is, again, able to pierce between joint and marrow, soul and spirit. It is a powerful, supernatural book. And so the best challenge that I've given to my Jewish brothers and sisters and to anyone is, hey, you know what? You want to consider yourself educated. You want to think that you're a well-read person, but you've not read one of the Gospels, the accounts in the Bible of the life of Jesus. You have to do that. And it's going to take you just, you know, take an hour or two and read through the Gospel of Mark or read through the Gospel of John or any one of the four. Take your pick and allow that strategy to be God's plan, God's divine power to change that person's heart. Don't argue with them. Ask them. Explain yourself. Explain why you say that he's not the Messiah. And if you're saying that, is it because you've read what he said and decided that it's not true?
So redirect people to the Word of God. All right, here's another question. You ask the question to someone, who do you think Jesus is? And, you know, the person responds, well, you know, he's a Jewish person, a carpenter who died in Israel 2,000 years ago. But, you know, basically he's irrelevant to me. How do you respond?
Absolutely. And that's, I love this, because the fact of the matter is that Jesus is so relevant to every one of the challenges that we face in life. So, for example, one of the promises that the prophets gave concerning the Messiah was that he would be the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Now, we're living in a world that is so full of turmoil and upset. I mean, the economy is in the tank. There's war. People are threatening war. The Iranian conflict with the nuclear weapons and all of this, and people are living on the edge. There's a lot of fear. And, you know, the Bible tells us that the peace that Jesus promised is not the absence of strife, but the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to say, you know, how's your life doing these days? Are you feeling pretty peaceful in this crazy mixed up world? Well, you know, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. And so for a person who's going through difficulty, maybe they've had a relational strain, their marriage is not going well, they've lost a job. We know a lot of people in this area are without jobs and they're desperate. And Jesus promises to give the peace that is the calm in the midst of the storm. And that's part of our testimony as well. You know, when I came to Jesus, it wasn't because, you know, I was going to be happy, happy, happy all the day, but rather that in my most deepest and profound struggles of my life, and there are a lot of them, I have found that God is able to lift me up and carry me along and give me that peace even in the midst of the most difficult trials of life. That's about as relevant as you can ever get.
So who do you think Jesus is? Well, he's a Jewish man, a carpenter who the Romans crucified, you know, 2,000 years ago, but his life is not relevant to me. Yes, he is relevant. He's the Prince of Peace. You know, he can give you peace in the midst of a chaotic world. And he's the resurrected Messiah. He came back from the dead, and he can overcome, you know, the fear of death and the reality of death, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the other promises that the scriptures made, the prophets made about the Messiah, was that he would be the pierced one. And that's a really radical concept because, you know, first of all, most people think about a Messiah as being someone who's going to ride in on a white horse and, you know, solve all their problems. But the fact is that we worship a suffering Messiah. And what that means is that he is not untouched by our own infirmities. And, you know, just today I've heard of two different friends of mine who have gotten bad news about their physical condition. One has inoperable cancer. And how do you deal with that? You know, how do you face the challenge of physical ailments or even impending death? Well, the point is that we have a Messiah who has really conquered death and given us life eternal, and that makes all the difference in the world.
Dave, really, I appreciate so much talking about our responsibility as, you know, evangelists. Each one of us is called to be a witness. That's part of our core responsibilities as sons and daughters of God. Thank you for helping us with some practical how-tos about engaging in evangelism. Using that proposal statement, that question that Jesus asked his disciples, who do you think that I am? Who do you think that I am? If we could just take the initiative, get filled with the Holy Spirit, have a little holy chutzpah, a little holy boldness, and try to direct our friends and neighbors and coworkers, you know, by raising that question, who do you think Jesus is? And where they're right, we agree with them. Where they're wrong or lacking information, we correct them, we fill in the blanks, and direct them to the scriptures. It's not complicated, right, Dave?
Absolutely. It is simple, and it is something that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do if we're willing to make ourselves available.
Dave, Jews for Jesus is a wonderful ministry worthy of our support. It's on the front lines of evangelism around the world. How can we get involved in Jews for Jesus? How can we support your ministry?
We have a wonderful website that I would encourage people to go to right now. It's called JewsForJesus.org. You can go there. You can find out about various projects that you can support. We have a wonderful newsletter that we send out that helps equip believers in Jesus to, number one, know the Jewish roots of their Christian faith. Number two, know how to witness simply and effectively, just like we've been talking about. And number three, know how to pray for our ministry in the 14 countries that we're currently ministering in around the world, everywhere from the United States to Israel, and everywhere in between.
Dave, thank you so much for being my guest on Jesus Made Me Kosher today. I appreciate the leadership and the wisdom that God has given you. And you're listening to Rabbi Lauren. We've been talking about the importance of evangelism, being a faithful witness, something that God calls each and every one of us to do. It is not complicated. If we can just ask this simple question, who do you think Jesus is? And where people are right, we agree with them. Where they're wrong or lacking information, we correct them and fill in the blanks. So from all of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael, I want to wish you a shalom, shalom, perfect peace.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.